future has arrived.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
We're created to build community, created to build the kingdom of God.
There is a power when we step into our role as sons and daughters.
The kingdom of God has not moved forward by good conduct. It's moved forward by good belief.
If you want people to be creative, you got to give them permission to really explore.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We are coming to you from the City of Hope, Joplin, Missouri, home of Next Gen Worship, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Josh. Today is a really special day on the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We're revisiting some of the really key moments that we had over the course of the past year. 2016 mm-hmm. was a great year. We interviewed Incredible. Some really influential people, some inspiring conversations that we had, very like hearts. And so today we're going to revisit some of those special moments that we had throughout the year.
Yeah, it's such an honor to get to connect with so many incredible people, both outside of the Midwest and in our own community. So just thinking back to all these moments where we reached out to people, connected with them, and then we found out, man, they are on the same assignment we are.
Right, right.
And it's like this family started to be created and formed between us all. It was really neat.
Well, first up on our list today is Tim Timmons. And if you don't know who Tim Timmons is, you got to go check him out. Yeah. He's a recording artist and just a powerful singer-songwriter, but also has a God-given agenda to inspire the church to reach out into the 10,000 minutes throughout the week outside of church services.
Yeah, so I want to plug his blog real quick because he's doing a bang-up job on that. He's got a blog called 10,000minutes.com, and the basic premise is there's 10,080 minutes in the week. 80 minutes of those are spent on your Sunday morning worship time or your church time. Right. So what do we do with the other 10,000 minutes? And he's really challenging people to advance the kingdom the other 6 days of the week, and super incredible.
Also, we're going to be talking with J.D. King today and revisiting our interview with him. We took a road trip up to Kansas City and talked with him. In fact, it was about this time last year. We headed up to Kansas City, and we were going up there to pick up Anthony Truder.
Yeah.
Remember, from South Africa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anthony's a good friend of ours and a missionary all over the world and a singer-songwriter himself.
Yep.
But sat down with JD and talked about worldview.
Yeah, so lots of super juicy, good stuff in these interviews. And, you know, we put these together because we care about what God's saying in the earth. We care about you, the listener. We care about getting these things into your hearts so that you can be part of this thing that God's doing. You know, we are champions for community. We are champions for unity. And we want to get out there what Holy Spirit is saying so we can all get on board with it and do it together.
So just to tease a little bit about what's coming up on the show today, revisiting moments from 2016 as we sit down with several different folks on the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We're going to have Steve Backlund on the program today, Dean DeGuara from Jesus Culture, Rob and Catherine Harriman, missionaries to Mexico and Central America, our good friends Jeremy and Tabitha Frigier, and also Roy Fields will be on the program today.
So. Sounds so good.
All that coming up. Stick around. You definitely do not want to miss this
Buckle
program.
Up.
Yeah. Highlights of 2016 coming up on the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
One of the things that we're doing at Next Gen Worship is stewarding what God is saying and doing in our midst. We have been experiencing an amazing movement of Holy Spirit in community and worship for a couple of years now. One of the ways that we're stewarding this movement well is through the Next Gen Worship Collective. The Next Gen Worship Collective is a record label that we have started to influence the Midwest through a new sound that God's releasing in the earth. So much new talent, music, and heartfelt expressions of worship are occurring in our region that we created this label solely to help steward that as a voice in the earth. We believe that we can capture encounters of Holy Spirit through worship, through media. We're sitting here in our brand new studio. It's nearly complete, but we need your help to take one final big step towards completion. We have had a custom heating and air system designed specifically for this studio. The cost is about $4,650, and we need your help. We'd like to ask you to partner with us to cross this one last hurdle towards creating a voice from the Midwest of worship. Your contribution will help us to empower generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
To donate, please go to nextgenworship.com/donate.
listening to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Well, we're empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. We've done that throughout the year here on the program. 2016 was a powerful year for us. We've talked to a lot of really like hearts throughout the world. And today we're revisiting some of the highlights of our program this past year.
Coming up is Tim Timmons. Buckle your seatbelt.
Well, I'm super good looking.
Yeah, obviously.
It's just weird being this good looking. You know what I mean? Just being in a room with all these people, it's just so weird. No, I'm a total dork. I'm a dad of four crazy cute kids. I'm a husband of a total babe. I scored for 18
wow.
years. And we've been in Orange County, California. I was a worship leader in a great church community out there for 15 years mm-hmm. and a few other communities. And then left there about 4 years ago. Jesus moved us out.
Yeah.
It's just this crazy, it's a longer story than we have time for.
But sure.
Anyways, he moved us out and we didn't really know what we were doing. So we started this other little gathering of people and we start with like 400 people. Like our first time was with a guy named Doug Fields, who's a great teacher. And we whittled that sucker down to about 30 a year because wow. we started asking the question, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Like if we wanted to like make that thing into a mega church, could have been the easiest thing we could have ever done. I mean, Jesus was saying, hey, what do you guys think I want to do?
Wow.
What am I about?
Wow, wow.
And so that just that changed the way that we started seeing Jesus, what his desire for his church was. What if it's his job to build his church?
Hey.
I am such a pro-church guy, but I'm more pro we are the church and yeah. we gather as the church. I mean, how beautiful is that?
Yeah.
But there are 10,080 minutes in a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And 80 of those are gathered in a building, which is awesome. And we need to keep doing that. And
sure.
all of you leaders keep rocking and killing that. It is so great. Those 80 minutes are awesome. But there are 10,000 other minutes during the week. So what would it look like for us to actually lead people into the 10,000 minutes and follow Jesus there? And I think I just always made the 80 the point.
Right.
So, which according to Jesus, I think is it's just not the point.
Right.
So it's been way more fun trying to figure out how do we invite people into the 10,000 minutes.
Let's just talk about that for a couple of minutes. Give us some visuals. Like, what does that look like?
I don't know. I think the different way of seeing the 80 minutes and the 10,000 minutes, I think mm-hmm. that has changed everything. So,
yeah.
I mean, honestly, as I travel the country, because this is all I do now, so that I signed this crazy record deal with Sony, and which out of nowhere, and I'm a dork. I don't know how these things happen, but Jesus keeps opening these doors.
Yeah.
So I think everywhere I go, I watch where people are actually focusing more on the vehicles that we use. So let's say worship, right?
Right.
Worship is awesome. Worship music is awesome. The idea of worship is so biblical and beautiful, but worship is not the point. If you want to get more exciting, check this out. The Bible is awesome. Mm-hmm. It is the word of God, right? We all would say. Yet Jesus says, I'm the word of God. According to Jesus, he's like, you guys keep looking for life in this thing. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. The Bible is amazing. It is a gift that we have, but it is the vehicle.
Yeah.
It is not the point.
Right.
The cross. I mean, so people are probably wanting to throw rocks through this thing right now.
Hey.
But according to Jesus, the cross is not the point either. According to Jesus, grace is not the point either. Those are the vehicles to the point. I mean, Jesus never uses the word grace. Yet grace is such a gift and a beautiful thing that we have. The cross, what an amazing doorway through Jesus and what he's done into the good news. And I think the fact that I never knew what Jesus said was the good news, and I don't think most people actually know what Jesus said was the good news, changes everything. So if I was going to give a gospel message tonight at this concert,
sure,
everybody would expect me to say that Jesus died for our sins, right? And
right.
he rose again, which is so awesome. It is awesome. And then we get to go to heaven. That's what we get. That is the good news. So everybody, here you go. And somebody asked me, so what does Jesus say is the good news? I'm like, love one another. According to Jesus, the only thing that is the good news is the availability of the kingdom of God.
Come on.
I mean, that's crazy. Like, who taught me that? Maybe somebody did. I just couldn't hear it for years. So I think just my new life and what I was talking about with living the 10,000 minutes versus
right.
just the 80 is seeking first the kingdom of God, not just in the 80, but in the 10,000 minutes.
Mm.
What's that look like?
Right.
So that's just been our journey in these past years is going, okay, Jesus, I'm done making the 80 minutes the most important. So
yeah.
where are you at in the 10,000 minutes? How do I actually seek first the kingdom of God? And everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom. So if you want to know where the kingdom of God is, look for where the king is king.
I love Tim. He's such a great guy. I mean, we took him to the car rental place when he was here in Joplin.
Yeah, we went on a little road trip with him. He was a blast.
Next up, we're going to be talking a little bit about worldview and how shifting culture through worldview is really near and dear to the heart of J.D. King.
You know, worldview is such a great term because I think it speaks of how do you see the world? How is the world built? You know, what are the values? What is the culture? What is the things that are really driving the way you think, the way you believe? And everybody has a worldview. Most of the time we don't know it. It's like fish, you know, you swim in water.
Right.
The worldview is the world around you, how it's organized, how it's defined, the trajectory, the narrative, the story, all those things. You know, we all have them. There's no one without a story. There is a method to the madness. There is a reason why they behave the way they do, whether they acknowledge it or not. And so worldview matters greatly because it affects the way we pray, affects the way we worship, it affects the way we build relationships, it affects our understanding of investment and all those types of things. You know, it's very, very, very powerful.
Yeah. Let's help people define worldview maybe. What would be an example of maybe an unhealthy worldview?
Well, you know, it's one I know you would agree with, but maybe the notion that God is angry and kind of out for blood, so that everything we do is really makes him angry and bitter, and he's really out to destroy us. I mean, that could be an example of a worldview that's not healthy. Or
so let's flip the coin then.
Yeah.
So what would be an example of maybe a healthy worldview?
Well, it's a view that would say God actually desires to restore creation, restore people, that he sent his son to actually bring people back into relationship to him and to rebuild family. I mean, you know, it's two completely different ways of looking at God and how he operates. Right, and those are worldview issues in some level.
So let's take it a step higher now. Okay, what is God's view for our world?
That's a great question. And again, these deal with issues of theology. These are issues of philosophy, the issues of what is motivating our behaviors, our actions. I believe, and I understand from Scripture, and I think sometimes what we get, you know, we're talking about how we build our thinking, how we understand it.
Very good.
I think there's a tendency maybe to lift in terms of the Bible, just a few little things or read it a certain way. But the question is, what is in the richer, fuller narrative of the Bible? What is it telling us?
Right.
What is it taking us toward, taking consideration, you know, the Old Testament on into the New? What are we learning about God? What is he saying? What is he showing us? And I think what we find is this, that God works through maybe sometimes limited human understanding to bring us into something deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, I believe God is in the business of restoring creation. He's in the business of reconciling all who will receive him back into family. He's in the business of bringing peace, joy, to bring abundant life. You know, he's doing that. He's working that. He sent his son to enable this. He's given us gifts. He's given us enablement. He's brought beauty and joy and all these things that sometimes we just don't even appreciate like we could. And he's working through all these things to bring something wonderful, to bring life and deep meaning to who we are.
Yeah. I really enjoy hearing you talk about a particular mindset that we were actually just talking about a little bit ago, intentionality. Can you just touch on that and talk about that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the context of talking about that is this, that it goes back to this issue of, you know, I believe God has invited humanity from the very beginning. Genesis 1, 26 through 28, you know, it says, I've made man in my image and my likeness. If you look further in the Bible, likeness is actually described as being like a son.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard that line? You're in the spitting image of your daddy.
Right.
So we were made to be like the sons and daughters of the Most High God. So in that role, God desired for us to reflect him, to show him, to demonstrate him.
Very good.
So this idea is that we are in partnership with God to reveal who he is. And to say it a different way, God is spirit, the Bible teaches us. And he has made us to be a tangible, physical demonstration.
Man, J.D. carries such a rich perspective when it comes to worldview. We're going to contrast that a little bit by talking about joy. Steve Backlund, man, what a well of joy that guy is.
Let's just laugh at that.
Yeah. If you're having a bad day, this will fix it.
I was a joy-impaired, laughter-impaired Christian until the 90s, when the Lord just really brought a breakthrough to me. during that time, there's a phenomenon that happened that a lot of people experience, a phenomenon called holy laughter, in meetings, people would just start laughing and they tried to stop and they couldn't. Sometimes preachers would try to preach and all they would do is laugh and they couldn't preach. And I would watch that and I was troubled. I said, that can't be God. I said, so I'm going to search the Bible and see if joy is actually in there. Uh-huh. You know what I found, Clint? I found it's all over.
Oh, yeah.
It's all over. Nehemiah 8:10, it's our strength. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart is good like medicine. Psalm 16:11, in his presence is fullness of joy. And we may not be outrageously joyful every time we're in his presence, but if we're never outrageously joyful in his presence, we may not be as much in his presence as we thought we were.
Very good.
Jesus in Hebrews 1:9 was anointed with the oil of gladness above all his companions. He was the gladdest being on the planet.
Wow.
Luke 2:10, the announcement by the angel to the shepherds about Jesus was an announcement of joy.
Mm-hmm.
It says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. And so those impacted me, but really one of the verses that mostly impacted me was Romans 14:17, where it says, the kingdom of God is not about meat and drink, but about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I began to see that joy was one-third of the kingdom. So when we talk about culture, you know, influencing our culture through joy, first of all, we have to value it. And if it's one-third of the kingdom, it needs to be valued, but pretty much the first 15 years of my Christian life, I could probably count on one hand how many messages I heard on joy. And, you know, so I said, how come? It's one third of the kingdom, but nobody's talking about it. Well, my theory on why there seemed to be few messages on it was that under a religious mindset, it's impossible to be joyful. Because if you are joyful, it means you're not getting it. Because if you really got it, if you really got it, you'd understand God has just about had enough of you. I mean, he's so frustrated and he's so disappointed with you, he's about ready to implode. And you prayed 1 hour, you should have prayed two.
Yeah.
You fasted for 3 days, but you ate a marshmallow on day two, and now God is angry with you. And so that was how I thought.
Yeah.
You know, and again, under performance-based Christianity, works-based, you can only celebrate and become joyful when there's perfection. Mm-hmm. And there's not much perfection. I mean, so there's not much joy.
Yeah.
And so I realized that families celebrate progress and become joyful with progress. And that was a key thing for my life to actually, especially my leadership, to change from, you know, performance-based into more family-based and really realize that whether it's as an individual or as a group of people, we didn't need joy at the end of the battle. We needed joy in the middle of the battle because it was our strength.
Mm, yeah.
It was our health. Just beginning to prioritize it and say, I'm going after it. That was a huge thing for me. I said, I'm going to go after it in my personal life and in my corporate setting. And Clint, it was really transformational for us.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. You dropped some bombs there. I'm going to have to chew on. But I think this ties nicely into your negativity fast and positivity feast that you guys are doing. I love the idea. I would love for you to explain this and talk all about it.
To be an influencer, you can't be pessimistic. You know, pessimism and Christian leadership cannot go together. God partners with people who are unreasonably optimistic.
Wow. Wow, wow.
David was unreasonably optimistic when he went after Goliath. The experts would have said, hey, David, we think it's unwise for you to do that. Moses, the experts are saying you raising your rod at the sea, that's not going to do anything. And so We have a real heart because, you know, even in talking about joy, joy and hope are really linked. In Romans 15:13, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." So the moment we believe truth is the moment we get filled by the God of hope. And as hope comes, our perspective on things gets upgraded and joy comes as well. So, because the kingdom of God is not moved forward by good conduct, it's moved forward by good beliefs.
Wow.
I want to say that again. The kingdom of God is not moved forward by good conduct. It's moved forward by good beliefs. The question of the hour is not, Lord, tell me, what should I do, Lord? The question is, Lord, what should I believe? What should I renew my mind with about you, about myself, about the people in my life, and about my circumstances?
Love Steve Backlund. He's so great. I mean, if you want to get just ignited with hope, go to ignitinghope.com and hear some of the declarations that Steve has on his website there. We're just revisiting highlights from 2016 and more to come after the break. We're going to be talking with Dean DeGuara from Jesus Culture, Rob and Catherine Harriman, Jeremy and Tabitha Frigie, and Roy Fields, all coming up on the Next Gen Worship broadcast.
Each generation has its own divine mandate from God, its own set of responsibilities to release truths and realities in the kingdom into the earth. And we at Next Gen Worship feel the responsibility to begin to steward and call out as a voice to an entire generation. We want to invite you to partner with us financially, prayer, and community. We encourage one-time donations as well as a partnership that creates a connection. Help us empower generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Your giving will help us travel to cities carrying the heart and message of the worship movement in our region. Continue to produce the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Establish our record label, the Next Gen Worship Collective. Create consumable media geared towards raising up and inspiring the sons and daughters of God that creation is longing for. Hold conferences that are focused on bringing people into a life-changing encounter with God, and much more. To partner with us, go to nextgenworship.com/partner.
The Next Gen. You're listening to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. We've done that all year long with different guests on our program and some really powerful, powerful content that we've had through these really influential people.
Yeah, not only that, we're getting to actually hear from the hearts of leaders of movements. And in my view, that's where Dean DeGuara plays. He's heading up resources for Jesus Culture, which is now influencing the whole world.
So let's hear what he has to say about kingdom leadership.
We really have a heart. Jesus Culture has a heart to see Christians in the game. And so not just serving on Sundays, not just coming to church, but really coming to church to be equipped so that you can lead in the city. And we're on this journey right now, and we're fleshing this out. We're still asking God, what does this look like? But we're just cultivating leadership in the lives of people, and people are drawn to that. They want to be used outside the four walls of the church. And, you know, when someone has that revelation that, you know, God has called them to work in the marketplace, called them to work maybe in the education realm, whatever realm it may be, when they have a revelation that, you know, that's their calling and that's their ministry, man, just an incredible swell of momentum and excitement has just really emerged at our church. And so we're just fleshing it out, but we really focus on saying and reiterating to people, yeah, you're going to contribute to the family. That's how we say, that's how you're going to serve on Sundays. Mm-hmm. But hey, you are called to lead in the city. If what we're doing in here doesn't work out there, we're doing something wrong.
Yeah, that's so good. So tell me, why is it so important from going from a Sunday morning or your gathering time in your local church, why is it so important to actually view yourself as a leader in your city or the, you know, your region?
We call it leaven leadership. You know, I think we're good at cliches in the church, and I have a huge passion for the church, but we're good at slogans and phrases such as, you know, we're going to change the world, we're going to win this city, those kinds of things. But you know what? If we're not influencing from the place where God has put us, then that's never going to happen. So if we're going to see the high school system or the education system changed, well, who has God put there to influence that system?
Oh, wow.
You know, if we're going to see revival in the government, well, who has God placed there to influence the government? And we're beginning to see this. This is really beginning to come alive in people, people in the marketplace. You know, we have a gentleman in our church. God has just promoted him. He is the youngest general manager in his field. I mean, he's been promoted like within a year and a half's time of being at this company. And he has changed the atmosphere of the staff meetings. He teaches his employees kingdom principles. So he's just seen transformation in his sphere. But that all came from a revelation of, hey, I'm called to influence this company right where God has placed me. So that's our real heart behind, you know, leading in the city. And if we're going to see cities transform, nations transform, you know, it starts with where God has put me.
It was great to sit down with Dean DeGuara. Oh, man, very like heart.
Yeah.
And I hope to be connecting again with him this year in 2017.
Yeah. So next up, some dear friends of ours, missionaries to Mexico with RK Missions, Rob and Catherine Harriman. They are a bundle of fun, but also super serious about what they do. Check them out.
The heart behind it, really, we've always wanted to be missionaries since the time we met each other. We promised we're going to be missionaries, but we don't want to be the average missionary that goes and just kind of wades through the culture, you know, building churches, which is good, and building houses for the people, which is good. But we have a heart when we go to mission field, we want to shake the nations. Mm. We kind of coin that. That's on our t-shirts. And so really, that's our heart behind our missionary style.
I was 9 when I just felt God tell me I was going to be a missionary nurse when I grew up. And I was living in Guatemala at the time. My family was a missionary family, so I lived there for 6 years as a child. And something happened to me that ruined me, and it happened to Rob later, his first mission trip. You were 18?
18.
And we were together, actually. We weren't, you know, an item at all, but we fell in love with people with brown eyes and brown hair, mm-hmm. and brown skin, and just that culture. That truly is the heart behind what we do, is we love Latin American people. We truly do. I just feel at home with them, and I just want to take every bit of God and every bit of anything God has ever taught me and given me and give it to them. And that's definitely, for me, the heart behind it.
Awesome. So tell us where you've been the last 5 months, and then give us some God stories.
Well, we went to Mexico in September. We were there for 3 months, and then we ended up doing 1 month outreach in Costa Rica and a month in Panama, and we just got back sometime in February. It was a crazy, wild ride. Amazing things happened. I will say, going into it, that we had moments of like, can we really do this? And I think that's important to talk about, because people hear our highlights and they're like, oh, wow, they're amazing. Yeah. But I remember one time sitting in our room and being like, Lord, are we supposed to do this? Because the outreach to Costa Rica and Panama ended up costing a lot more than we thought it would, and we did not have the money to pay for it. And so we're like, God, I mean, what do we do? And God just began to speak to us. It was kind of fun. He did it through our kids. We sat down with our family and said, hey, we're going to pray and ask God to direct us. Should we go to Costa Rica and Panama or not? And one of my kids said, hey, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And another one said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And through our children quoting verses back to us, God gave us a real peace about going. And within 7 days, a massive amount of money came in to pay for that trip. And I think that's important to share. That cliche where God guides, he provides, is so cliche, but it's real. And to be in the middle of crazy provision is so much fun and so scary all at the same time. Yeah. Because you don't have the money, but you're like putting yourself out there, and then God provides, and you're like, oh, he's so good.
And I'll say, if you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go. And so I'll be 99 years old and be like, oh, hey, when I feel good about this, I'm going. And I think that's kind of an American Christian culture, is like, hey, when I get this, or when I sound like Clint Kaler, I'll do a podcast, or, you know, if, you know, whatever. we got kind of tired of waiting to go. And so God supernaturally sent us to Mexico. He supernaturally provided for things. But the end goal was God moved mightily in the nations.
Oh, man, I love their hearts. What a dynamic duo those two are.
They are. The dynamic family.
Yeah. Another dynamic duo that we ran into this past year, Jeremy and Tabitha Frigier.
Yeah, they have some great things to talk about unpacking the culture of heaven into earth. Check it out.
A couple of years ago, the Lord had inspired me to look the word apostle up and the root of that. And what I began to find was that that word actually was a secular word. It was a military term used in Rome. So the king would issue apostolos, which would be like a legion of ships, to go out from Rome and to begin to influence other places. And so on those ships, they would carry the culture of Rome. And these ships were known for carrying the arts and entertainment, the sports, you know, the media sources. They would carry military strategy. They carried everything that would classify Rome so that when they landed in a certain region, they would go out, they would transform culture. They would lay down, you know, everything that they were and really stay in the region and help build that thing and facilitate it so that when the king came, he felt like he was at home.
My goodness.
Isn't that so cool? Good.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Clint, when you had asked me to do this, the Lord immediately inspired me. He said, I'm unpacking the boat. And I knew exactly what he meant. This isn't for anywhere else, I didn't feel like. It was really for here. I know this is happening in other places, and those voices are speaking into those places, and they have like hearts and like minds, and they're really after the Father. But there was something really unique in this region right here, McDonald County, Newton County, Jasper County. And I felt like God was saying, I'm unpacking the boat. And it was really that we would come into the fullness of who we were, our identity in Him, knowing what we carry, and not being in a place where we felt like we had to flee, but that we would stick to it because He unpacks the boat. He set us where we need to be, and we can begin to invade culture and be a part of what the kingdom's doing right here so that we can lay the foundation. That way the king can come and he doesn't have to leave. He feels at home in these places that he's at.
So incredible.
They're talking our language,
man. I know. Well, Tabitha, you were sharing about your experience at the last Unite Worship Gathering and how that really ties in with this. Can you just share some of your heart about that?
Yeah, you know, I think for years, you know, well, actually all my life, I know personally, I'd looked for a place, where can I have a place to be a part of, you know, my kids be a part of something that's going on, you know, our family, the generations. And when we were at the last gathering, it was just like, wow, this is so healthy. You know, whenever you see people begin to come together and honor, I know this word is used a lot, but that's really what it is. I honor and I receive what God has put in you, and it's valuable. It's not just valuable, it's vitally necessary to what goes on in my life and this person's life. And when I see the community of worshipers come in like that and begin to interact and pulling down ultimately what I feel like has been a stronghold over this area for a long time of just the competition, it unleashes this healthy thing. You know, there's the creativity released for people to begin to dream.
Wow.
You know, that's really, it's just hitting me as I'm saying it. When you have a healthy environment like that, it releases people to dream. It releases people to go beyond the box. It causes people to dare, to want to draw into the king in places that they've never been and beyond what this boundary of the known is. And this is something that I really feel like, if I can go ahead and take liberty in this, yes. I feel like the Lord is saying that He is in this time beginning to draw people beyond the boundaries of what has been known.
Yeah.
In this area, there is going to begin to be a shift where people really are going to cross over into stuff that we've just read about in Scripture, where you see, for example, like whenever Philip was translated. Mm. And right now, we've only longed for that in our heart, but the days are coming when the Lord will begin to manifest these things as we seek Him first in unity.
I love the idea of shipping the culture of heaven to the culture of earth.
Yeah, it's a unique perspective and so biblical and so good. It's what God's doing in our generation.
Well, we're going to wrap up this highlights show. More to come next week as we dive into even more interviews that we did throughout the year 2016. But we'll wrap this one up with Mr. Roy Fields.
Sometimes in this generation, the word revival is looked at as a cliche, and people get offended by that name, especially the younger generation, the millennials. They don't like the word revival because to them, it equates some old revival meeting in a tent where a preacher's screaming at them or whatever. Mm-hmm. But here's what happened to me. What I found is when I got knocked on the ground and I could not get up, do you know what was happening to me, Clint?
Tell me.
I was falling in love with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I already came to Jesus when I was 8 years old. I already had an encounter with him when I was 18, but now here I am like 27 years old in full-time ministry stepping out, and I get knocked on the ground, and my heart is just breaking for God, not because I'm in a desperate place, not because things are so amazing. I just fell in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
I fell in love with Jesus, and to me, that's what revival is. Revival is getting the church to come back to her first love. Because how can we win the lost if we are the people and the messengers that go out and we don't even believe it anymore?
Right.
We're just trying to do the thing, you know, get more people to church, go out and witness them. Even prayer. Some people go out and lay hands on people and they even get healed, but them themselves are far from the Lord. Their heart are not really engaged with God.
Yeah.
And so during this journey, I find myself, even to this day, laying on that living room floor of mine, weeping. What matters to me is that people fall in love with God. That's all I really care about because that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
So all my songs that I write, all the things that I do, they come out of my own personal relationship with Jesus. And you can sit down and craft a song, but I'll tell you what the best, in my opinion, the best worship, the best revival songs that cut across all the grain is somebody who has spent time in the personal place with God. Yeah. And they have a legitimate relationship with Jesus. And I'm not even referring to myself. I'm talking about any person that has a deep relationship with God. They don't even have to be a musician.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell when they walk in the room, this person must know God because I feel the presence around them.
I love that.
And to me, that's what revival does. Revival gets you in that place where you start realizing God is real.
Wow.
That's what revival is.
Love Roy Fields' voice because he's the voice of revival in the earth, especially when we talk about returning to your first love. So good and so important. A great way to wrap up our year and start the next one.
And we'll be returning to some more highlights next week with, oh my gosh, we got Sean Bowles on the list. We got some of our close friends here locally, Jenna Jenish, Daryl Billings, Ben Woodward, Russell Wood, and Rachel Grindle, all on next week's program as we visit more highlights from 2016 on the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Join us then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.